We all have a story to tell. Let's tell yours. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast with your host, Jason. Come together and listen to journey stories and more from interesting people. Welcome your host, Jason.
Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast. Today, I have Drew from California.
Thanks for having me on.
Drew, what is California Cowboy?
We are a new apparel brand that creates social technical apparel, and I can kind of get into specifically what that means, but at a very high level, we design our product to help people connect in real life, to have real life conversations, and to enjoy and indulge in after sport activities. After sport for us tends to be kind of framed around surfing and skiing, but there's a lot of different sports out there and we love them all. And we love, you know, getting out there, enjoying nature, getting together afterwards and having a beer and hanging out with people.
Okay. Did you always dream of being in clothing design and manufacturing?
No. That would probably, I would not have put myself in the, probably, or painted myself with that brush, I guess, initially, but started off in the apparel industry kind of right after college. Decided to try it for a year and loved it, and kind of had a long journey to get to where I am today and starting my own company. But yeah, I would not have said that I dreamt of it from back in the day, although there was definitely a few experiences along the way that if I look back on them, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense now.
What'd you go to college for?
I actually thought I was going to go to law school. I went to college on the East Coast after growing up in Southern California and Los Angeles proper, and studied English and philosophy. So liked writing, liked thinking, pontificating, talking to people, finding different and enjoyable ways to communicate with the intention of law, and just never materialized.
Your first job out of school was what?
So I actually lived... I've studied abroad in Australia when I was at Georgetown, and really wanted to go back afterwards. And I actually worked for NBC during the Olympics in 2000 when I graduated, which was really fun. But my work permit expired and had to leave Australia. And that's when I came back after 6 months after graduating and got my first job in women's merchandising at a company called BB, which was very, very weird for a young man to be doing. But it's pretty fun.
And explain what that job consisted of, if you don't mind.
Sure. So merchandising is effectively project managing, bringing product to market. It's a term that's kind of used, or a title that's used in hard lines and soft lines. I guess now digitally as well. But basically what it means is if the apparel industry is something that I really love. And one of the reasons I love it is because it takes a village to bring product to life. There's everyone from graphic designers and product designers to product developers and, you know, that kind of create product, but then you have to figure out how to get it sourced and sewn. And then you have to buy the right amount of inventory. You have to get it to the right stores and the right hands. So a lot of people touch the product lifecycle. And that includes the functions like marketing as well. And so merchandising kind of sits in the middle of all those different people. So you're kind of a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And it requires strong communication skills, and you get to meet a lot of interesting people along the way. And that's a merchant basically is kind of at the hub of all those different functions that brings product to life.
Okay. So let's talk about the transition of being merchandising to California Cowboy. How did that transition start?
So in many of the brands and companies these days, many of them are merchant driven. Some of them are not. Basically, because you get to know a lot about, or a little bit, I should say, about a lot of different pieces of the business, it set me up well to eventually launch my own company. But I spent about 10 or 15 years at other companies, kind of learning from others how to go about doing this, in addition to a couple of years in grad school, and then also working in a startup. All those things kind of taught me, I would call more some of the harder and the soft skills for, how to go about doing what I do today. But the concept is something that I had to come up with on my own, and it tends to be fairly autobiographical.
Drew, did you fall in love with the clothing industry from your first job? Is that Yes. really where it started?
Yes, I would say it was. I took the job. I had a couple of different things on the table when I was a young, college graduate, and had looked at some sports marketing opportunities and some things in like kind of the agency world. But I had a connection in this industry, and it sounded like something that I should try for a year. And I got lucky enough in my first job that my manager was a really awesome guy. And after doing it for about 12 months, deciding that I was like, wow, I really like this, because it touched on pop culture, it touched on entertainment. There was a tactile element in that you're actually making things that make people feel better about themselves, which is
right.
One of the things that I truly enjoy about it is giving people, something that they can purchase and wear, and actually it makes their day a little brighter if it makes them feel good. And that all kind of the mix of all those different elements really are what appealed to me and still appeal to me to this day. So my manager was like, look, you're really good at this. I think you should, or if you want to make a career out of this, you should actually go work at a bigger company. And that's how I ended up moving on from that job and going to Gap Incorporated.
And what did you do there?
Also a merchandising role. Okay. Started off in men's activewear at Old Navy, and had a few different roles on the Old Navy team, and had a couple of, I guess I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I pretty much have always liked most of the managers and bosses that I've had. That's not something that most people can say. to this day, one of my managers is actually an investor in my company. I've been fortunate enough to have learned from a lot of great people. And when I was at Old Navy, one of my managers and I had kind of spoken extensively about a couple of different, concepts that we had considered. And it was while I was there that I determined that I really, because I was an English major and didn't really graduate from college with any tangible skills, I decided that I needed to go to business school to learn a little bit more, functionally about how to actually start a business. So focused on entrepreneurship. And also had taken some of the classes that I didn't get to take as an English major.
Understood. When did California Cowboy really become the concept that you were going to start chasing?
Probably in 2007, I would say. 2008 is when I came up with the idea. And grant me a little bit of context and background here. So this will take a little bit to come to fruition. But I do, it kind of warrants a little bit of explanation, because I don't think I would have arrived at my where we are today had this not all occurred. So when I was, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up on the beach a lot in the summertime. So I was kind of like surfing in the water, out in the sand, out in the sun. And then in the wintertime, my parents would often take me skiing. And so I kind of grew up on the beach and in the mountains, and loved the camaraderie that came along with those sports. We would go, surf during the day, or, get the sponge out, go boogie boarding, and then you kind of come together afterwards and you sit down and you have tacos. And, once I got old enough, I was having beers too. And so there's this kind of après surf culture that my friends and I had developed. And it was kind of true of my team sports that I played on too. And the same is very much true of skiing. Après ski is this concept it's one of the main reasons that people go skiing that aren't professionals, is you get out there, you exercise a little bit, and then you get together with your buddies afterwards and you have a few beers. I was never particularly good at any one of these sports that I was engaging in, but I was an extreme extrovert. And I really liked talking to people in real life. And when I was in high school, I actually got very sick right between my junior and my senior year. And because of how sick I was diagnosed with leukemia. I had to spend about 6 months by myself because my immune system was so depressed that I was not able to be around my friends. or go to school effectively. And that was pretty crushing for someone that was, you know, relatively athletic and also an extreme extrovert to basically have your doctor say like, well, you can't go to school now and you can't play any sports. And you're not going to have enough energy to be outside. That was really, really tough as a young man. And I kind of got through most of my chemo, by the middle of my junior year of college. So it was about three years and change that I was actually on chemotherapy, but the entire time was pretty tough. And flash forward to, you know, me being, got much healthier, started my career, and still being an extreme extrovert and still kind of loving those sports and the camaraderie that came along with them. Part of my job as a merchandiser when I was particularly at Old Navy, and also when I was working on women's businesses prior to that, was to try to understand more about your customer and like the functionality that is brought from apparel. And it took kind of that experience of really being an extreme extrovert and also studying what people did in clothes and kind of what they used apparel to communicate about what they were feeling that any one given day to help me land on the concept that is California Cowboy. I realized that what you put on in the morning was one of the most obvious but silent ways that you communicate what you're feeling like that day. So if you put on a black trench coat and a ski mask, you're probably going to make yourself a little bit less approachable and maybe you're telling the world, I'm going to go rob a bank. But if you put on a floral print, you might be telling the world that, hey, I'm feeling pretty, you know, pretty uplifted today and maybe I'm down to have a conversation. And often I found that the people that were, you know, wearing prints or kind of more fun clothes, were actually pretty entertaining to talk to. And so it's kind of a silent signal that you use to communicate something about yourself. And I thought that kind of little hook was a little bit intriguing. Mm-hmm. And it's why I design our product to help people communicate in real life, which as we think about the way that things have transpired with the proliferation of smartphones and screen times, that is something that I think we've started to lose a little bit of a culture, is that real life connection. And our goal and our mission as a company and a brand is to subtly remind people that it's still fun to talk to people in real life and not just slide into their DMs.
I love that message. Absolutely love it. And I was wondering where the connection was going to be made. And now we know. California Cowboy, due to a gentleman wearing a shirt, or you also make women's apparel, important to point out, that your hope is that the garment will strike up conversation because of the clothing, correct? And in essence, as your website says, it's an analog interaction.
Yes. So there's a couple of different of layers here. And what we've tried to do is think about what can enhance people's analog experiences. You know, I mentioned the screen time thing, right? And right. Screens are really important in our lives. And we love technology because it actually helps us drive our business. And particularly during the past 18 months, which has been very difficult for everyone, you know, with COVID, screens are what has kept us connected. So we are not an anti-tech company by any stretch of the imagination. Sure. What we strive for is to help people create balance and to think about their engagement with the digital world and remember that even while we live in a digital world, that life still happens in analog. And analog is kind of a funny word because it's something that the younger generation isn't necessarily as familiar with. So that's something that we're working on, how we speak to it. But what we do with our product is we're trying to thread the needle kind of between fun and luxury. And most of the people that make kind of like really kind of loud, like, you know, out there clothing, like it's not, it tends to be very price driven and not very, you know, high quality. And we make pretty quality clothing. But what we also try to do is put into our product what we call social technical features. And that's a term that we came up with. And I'll try to explain it as best I can here. So if you think about, let's take a North Face or a Patagonia or a Nike or a Lululemon, brands that we greatly admire. They're really, really good at designing technical features and product with the end use of, you know, being the best skier on the mountain that day, of, you know, having the best wetsuit to make you be the best surfer, to be the best, you know, at yoga as you possibly can. All the technical features are designed to have the person that's wearing them become the best version of themselves with that sport. Now, that idea is a great one. We love it. And our goal is to design our technical features, not with the, you know, end use of like being the best athlete, but to being the best socializer that you possibly can. And to help people say, hey, like maybe I can actually put my phone away and be the best person version of myself, you know, while I'm sitting at happy hour, and or while I'm sitting at after sport, because for every hour of sport that exists in the world, there's an equal or greater number of after sport hours. And that's specifically what we design for. So, you know, instead of having like the, you know, the most technical fabric that's like for one of those events, we actually said, hey, we're going to put a dry pocket on the back of an Aloha shirt that actually keeps your phone out of sight and out of mind, because it's harder to feel a vibration in the small of your back from your phone than when it's in the front pocket of, or the back pocket of your jeans or your shorts. And we're also going to protect it from the water in case you're in, you know, the sand. So we actually made the pocket, you know, water resistant and or waterproof fabric and a water resistant zipper. What we also did was we took a bottle opener, and we had a bottle opener that also fits in a specially designed pocket, because everybody likes socializing and opening somebody else's beer, whether you're at a tailgate or somewhere else. We put a bottle pocket on the back of our product, so that if you're at the beach and you don't want to get your bottom of your bottle, you know, sandy and wet, you can just stick it in your back pocket. There's a koozie that comes along with it to keep your beer cold or whatever other beverage you may be drinking. And then we also include conversation cards. And the idea here is that there's 50 different sayings that come on them, and they're subtle reminders that you can still kind of mess with your friends and have fun in real life. And they're, you know, they're kind of fun little opportunities to remind people that, yes, you still can. It's kind of like a text message that predates text messages. So constantly are tweaking those. And, you know, there's some other features that we put in that are kind of fun, but those are kind of the features that we put in that are designed to help people socialize instead of being like the best surfer in the world that day.
How is that working for you?
People seem to like it. it's something that we've kind of cultivated a bit, and we're actually very soon, probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to see a pretty significant amplification of how we speak about digital wellness and social technical features. And we're actually going to be bringing a product to market that I can't quite divulge yet, that is going to be really, I think, fun and also be truly reflective of what we believe in. And that's that finding the right balance between technology and real life interaction.
Drew, I can't help but not share this, because I've been listening saying, how can Drew help the younger generation understand analog versus digital? And the best way for me is this: a person sitting and playing an acoustic guitar is analog. Going to listen to electronic music is digital. Fair?
I would say yes. The only thing that I think is similar is that if you're in the space with the musician and the artist, those are both real life experiences. And so the, I think one of the things that I like to you know, draw a comparison, because I actually like that one, because acoustic is kind of like, you know, plucking the strings. And then, you know, right, if you're creating electric or digital music, you're kind of like crafting it on a different instrument, but it's not, it's using a machine to kind of get done what you would otherwise use, correct, your fingers for, or a piece of wood and metal. So one of the things that I always, we've been like thinking about is like, how do you go to a party but pretend that it was in the 90s? which is before, you know, before cell phones really were even out there. And, you know, one of the things that I remember, and this is probably, you know, aging me a little bit here, but when you made plans, you pretty much had to show up. And I remember when I would go to the airport or the train station, and when I, like, before I could drive, like, sometimes my mom, like, wouldn't be there on time, and, like, you couldn't text her, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, your mom's picking you up from soccer practice, you had to go pick up a payphone if she wasn't there. And so those, and back in the day, like, in college, if you went out to a bar and your friends were there, you just went to a different bar. And it was much, there was a lot more serendipity. And serendipity is something that is a little bit harder, I think, for the younger generation to understand, because you always know where everybody is all the time. And if you don't know where they are, you just ping them and they're like, yep, I'm over here. Or maybe they don't answer. But the concept of serendipity is something that I'm fascinated by. Serendipity and analog, I think, kind of go hand in hand. You know, serendipity is really the concept of something unexpected and pleasurable happening to you. That's essentially out of your control. And that's what happens when you travel, when you put your phone in your pocket, when you're actually looking up instead of looking down. That's what, serendipity is. And it's like when a song comes on the radio that you weren't expecting to hear, it feels really good. And it's a very pleasurable experience that we want to try to bring back in some way, if we possibly can, and bring that back into people's lives. And we believe, you know, perhaps ambitiously, that if you're wearing the right kind of clothes and you have the right kind of tools, that you may you know, you can incrementally increase the amount of serendipity in your life if you're wearing California Cowboy.
Are you the sole designer of all the clothing?
So that's a very funny question, because technically speaking, I'm not a designer at all. So I actually, you know, conceptually, I would say that I lead the design process, but I have zero technical skills from a design perspective. So what I do have is an amazing team of people that I've worked with, both past and present, that have helped me bring my ideas in my head and my concepts to life. So I have a fantastic graphic designer. I have an unbelievable textile designer that helps us do our print and pattern repeats, who actually, you know, a lot of our prints are either, you know, kind of antique art pieces, or some of them we've actually, Brielle is actually hand painted, and then we've transformed them into prints. The one I'm wearing right now is actually Brielle, who's our textile designer, actually hand painted it on canvas, and then we transposed it to a print. A very analog process that we've then digitized and brought to life. And then I have an amazing technical designer and designer, great manufacturers, and an incredible product developer who's been with me basically the entire time. The concepts and our design direction, I would say, generally come from me, but I rely heavily on my team to actually make it all happen. And in many ways, I think what it takes to bring apparel to life is very reflective of what our brand stands for. And that's bringing people together, because everybody has to come together and execute. It takes a true village to bring our product to life. And I'm very grateful that I've had those partners for as long as I have, and had the experience to meet some of them along the way, who I've met at some of my past jobs that actually still work with me today.
How many total people make up California Cowboy currently?
So right now there's about 10 of us, that are, you know, 10 and change. We have a few, part-time people that work, in our store in San Francisco. But, you know, we started off with basically a few, and we've kind of just slowly grown over the past few years. It's good group, still a very small team, you know, in retrospect, but, we're growing pretty quickly, and, we're going to be doing some hiring in the next 6 months. So.
And Drew, we should get into that. California Cowboy currently has a brick and mortar store in San Francisco, correct?
That's correct. We're basically right in the middle of the city in an area called Russian Hill. We've been there for about 5 years, and we're currently, although not this year, but probably next year, we're going to be looking at additional locations.
Only within California?
Currently all within California, although we do have aspirations of expanding to other geographies, probably key cities in the US and then eventually overseas as well. And brick and mortar is something that is pretty important to us. You know, we're a brand that you know, stands for and talks frequently about in-person engagement. And our product is also one that is hard to truly understand unless you can touch and feel it. And our store team has gotten good at, we have to do a lot of product education, and we're pretty good at it online, but when you get to our store, you can actually see, feel how it's made and how it comes together. And also you get offered a beverage on your way in. So a little bit of an incentive there too.
Gotcha. And people can still shop online, correct?
That's correct. We're pretty stocked out right now. Business has been pretty strong, but you can shop in our store, you can shop online, and then we do have a few wholesale partners as well that we work with.
Okay. How do you plan on growing California Cowboy?
There's a number of different ways. We have a very focused product assortment right now, so we're exclusively centered on tops and shirts. And in the near term, we're going to be launching a few more product categories, expanding some of our fleece lines. Very recently, we just launched a new full zip hoodie that we've never had before called the PCH hood. Has a lot of the same features as our High Water shirt, which is our Après surf shirt, and then our High Sierra shirt, which is our Après ski shirt. So in the next 2 to 3 months, you're going to see us launching additional fleece colors of our Wagyu fleece line, which is a made in the USA bamboo stretch line. And then we're also going to be launching our first ever Après ski robe. Robes are a big category for us. And then next year, we'll probably be going into things like shorts and swimwear too. So okay. That's part of how we're going to grow. Additionally, we'll be looking at more channel expansion. So probably a slight uptick in our wholesale business, and then probably opening 2 stores next year, I would say. Maybe more than that, depending on how things go. But probably gradual growth is how we're going to approach it.
And when you talk about wholesale, are you talking about going into large retailers?
We have a few wholesale partners right now that we work with. They're, one of them in particular is Digital, who we've had a pretty strong partnership with. And then what we'll probably do is go into a few more kind of localized brick and mortar locations, in like 1, 2, 3 locations. And they tend to be in places where we're probably not going to be able to access those customers otherwise, in places where, we feel like we have a strong partnership. And one of the challenges and the benefits of California Cowboy is that it's very unique and interesting and differentiated product. It also happens to require a lot of explanation and education to sell. So we're not a great fit for lower touch environments. And what that means is that the brands or the stores that want to invest in buying our product have to kind of invest in our brand and understanding it so that they can be more effective at selling it. Which is something that we like too.
Sure. I can see this brand in Hawaii, all over Hawaii. I think it would do exceptionally well, my personal opinion.
Yeah, we send quite a few orders to Hawaii, but we don't have any stores there. Maybe we will one day.
Tourists.
Yeah, that's Hawaii. Exactly.
Drew, are you self-funded? Is California Cowboy self-funded, or do you rely on outside funding?
So we, up until recently, we were friends and family funded. Okay. So we actually started off with crowdfunding with the High Water shirt, which is our terry cloth lined Après surf shirt. So it has a towel on the inside, and then all the other features that I had previously mentioned. Started off there. My wife and I put in some money. I got my parents to invest. I found 15 of my other friends and family to kick in some cash. And we basically spent the first, several years running on, shoestring budgets and kind of keeping us going that way. But we were generating revenue the whole time. We had some really tough experiences. We actually had a fire about, you know, a year after we started, lost 80% of our inventory. So had to take out some loans to cover that, which is not the most fun thing in the world, but had a good lending partner and, you know, decent insurance coverage and got through it. But then we actually just announced that we closed some funding from a growth equity firm who's, you know, been working with for a little bit, and super excited about that. That's going to fuel a lot of the growth that we've, you know, we discussed, you know, specifically from a marketing perspective, and also enable us to expand our product lines and look at expanding our footprint in retail as well. So a lot of good things happening right now. And we're excited about the future.
Do you welcome investors currently?
Yes, we do. We have a great funding partner that an investor that wants to be a, you know, sustained source of capital for us. But we're also, you know, and they are also very much open to us working together.
Okay.
With other investors.
I know it's on your website, but I think it's also important to mention, just in case if someone doesn't go, where are your products made? What country?
So we make most of, so our fleece and tees are made in the US, and we were actually making most of our products here in the US for quite some time. What we were running into was that there's not a great ecosystem in the US for more technical products. So we actually moved a lot of our more technical products overseas to China. China's got a fantastic ecosystem around manufacturing. And they, you know, we have a pretty awesome partner over there that's done a great job of kind of continuing to elevate. And we've actually seen our quality, generally speaking, improve. So that's where things are made right now. We're currently looking to further diversify our supply chain. So we'll always keep some product in the US. You know, we like making product here, although it's can be very challenging from a costing perspective. And then we're looking at additional countries, which would include in the future both the Americas and in Turkey, etc.
How long does it take from once Drew has an idea of what he wants to the time that that product is manufactured? What is the average time? Because we all look, for the layman that looks at a garment, goes, some material, some stitching, maybe some buttons. Can't be that hard, right? But explain what goes on behind the scenes, because the shirt you're wearing specifically, you mentioned that someone actually painted that print on canvas. So her as an artist, Brielle, right?
Correct.
Brielle as an artist had to paint that picture, because that's what it is, right? It's a picture. She's painting a picture with input perhaps from yourself and others, and trying to create your design from your heads, right? And that takes time. And then you also have that time of staring at it, looking at it, seeing as art if it's really capturing what you really want to be interpreted. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. And the short answer is it ranges a little bit.
Sure.
And when you're bringing an entirely new product from kind of what's in your head into its first prototype and actually, you know, into production, it depends on the technical complexity. So to give you an example, the high water shirt, the first prototype that we made took about 9 months. And part of that was because we were working on our terry cloth lining that we had to custom develop with a mill partner. Mm-hmm. And it's a fabric that didn't exist on the market. And I had to go basically convince a mill to get behind a brand that didn't exist with no customers and make it. so that takes some time. Now we already have the high water shirt developed, I can probably bring it to market in about 5 to 6 months as soon as we lock up our designs. For a product that's already developed, if we're just switching a color out, it can be as short as 3 months. And then if I have a t-shirt where we're actually staging product that doesn't require a lot of additional materials that are customized, I could probably get it done in like 8 weeks, you know, maybe even faster if we've got things already going. So It's a pretty broad range from you know, 6-8 weeks to 12 months. And you know, what I will say too is that, you know, philosophically speaking, our brand is always about consistently improving the product that we make. So I've been reworking the high water shirt annually for the last 5 or 6 years. And that's something that we feel like we have to do for our customers and to also continue to make our product better.
And how is the feedback on each iteration?
It's good. I mean, the first time we came out with the first high water run was really good feedback on the concept, but our fit was a mess, candidly. And, you know, the part of it is getting the product right itself. And then you also have to kind of get through one or two manufacturing runs to make sure that you really learn a lot about the kinks. So if you think about the iPhone, for example, it's like, how many times have they rebooted the iPhone? It's like we're on the 14 now, right? And they do it every 2 years. We do ours every like 9 to 12 months is when we're reworking each of our products. Now, some of them, because they're more technical, like the high water shirt, the high Sierra shirt, and all the robes, take a little bit longer to rework. And then as we've continued to diversify our supply chain, we have to do continued rework there too. But so the short answer is we're in pretty good shape on most of our products here. I'm someone that's never really satisfied, so I always want to make them better. And you know, we always take customer feedback. I like getting it because it's constructive. And one of the nice things about having a retail store for us is that, you know, I'm there about 3 or 4 days a week, and I actually get to talk to people, and they're like, I like this, but I don't like this, I hate this. And you know, you have to be a little bit thick-skinned with what people say. But every challenge I also view as an opportunity. So someone doesn't like something about our product, I'm like, let's figure out how to make it better. We can do this.
Does California Cowboy have any patents on the specific designs?
We actually do. We have a design patent on the high water shirt, and we've actually talked about patenting some of our fabrics. What I can tell you is that, you know, in the apparel industry, it's pretty, patents are ways that you can kind of slow people down and protect some intellectual property, but it's pretty easy to, you know, make a slight change and have something not be in violation of a patent. So it's something that's popped up a little bit for us. But really what tends to be defensible in the business is creating a strong brand and kind of that connection with your customer. Because even if you knock off a product, exactly, you know, you're at the end of the day, what people tend to, some people tend to gravitate towards products, but many people tend to gravitate towards brands. And for us, I want us to be the apparel brand that is leaning into, social technical apparel that's kind of lifestyle apparel designed to help your day be better, you know, after whatever sport you're engaged in. And can help you engage with people in real life and kind of has that digital wellness narrative to it. And that's where I want us to be.
Is it safe to say then, Drew, that you would have no interest in private label of your designs and or making a garment for somebody, for another company out of your material?
We've actually done collaborations before.
Okay.
So that's something that we're very much open to. And, you know, there's a lot of brands that we admire out there that we really like working with. And some of them are in the apparel industry and some of them are outside of it. White labeling is something that hasn't really come up that much, but we've certainly collaborated in the past and intend to collaborate a lot in the future. It's actually fun for us. You know, we work really well with alcohol and beverage actually. And, we're actually about to do something with Anchor Brewing in San Francisco. And we've got there's a few other brands that we've worked with in the past that are fun. And we, because of our narrative and kind of what we do and our positioning, we're kind of a premium and elevated brand. We think there's a lot of opportunity to collaborate. So
can you talk about specifically what you're going to do with Anchor Brewing?
Anchor Brewing is a brewery and we have beer pockets on our shirts.
Sure.
And so what we're actually doing is a giveaway that we're branding on with chest patches, some of our products with Anchor and doing kind of some giveaways with them. And, you know, in the future, who knows what the future will hold. They're a San Francisco brewery that's been around for a long time, you know, got a lot more history than we do. So we're pretty honored to be working with them.
And you enjoy their beer, I presume?
Probably a little too much.
Fair enough. Drew, is there anything that I haven't asked that I should have or that you would like to share?
You know, we covered a lot of ground here, so it's been great. You know, would love, always love to hear feedback from listeners and, you know, whoever. And we always, one of the things that I always like to ask is, you know, what people think we should do next. We feel like we have a lot of good ideas, but, like many, businesses and, you know, a lot of, we have to be guided by what our customer is looking for. And we've actually had some pretty fantastic ideas come from customers. So, one example I'll give is when we first started making our, you know, we started with shirts and we didn't really have much for women, but, you know, we had noticed that some women were buying our, you know, our men's shirts. So we decided to start making robes for women, and the robes sold out basically instantaneously. We couldn't keep up with it. And I noticed that when we were in stores, there was guys that were coming in that were buying the women's robes, and we're like, huh. And everyone's like, you guys should make these for guys. Started making robes for guys, and now it's one of our biggest product lines. So, you know, I'll say that we listen a lot. We talk a lot, but we also listen a lot. And so if anyone has any ideas, you know, please hit us up, send us a message on social media, and we'll certainly take it into account. We do a lot of like surveys and consumer research and stuff like that. And some of the best ideas we've gotten have come from our customers.
And Drew, one last question. California Cowboy is made, the clothing is made for all sizes and shapes, correct?
We actually just released, we've had a more limited size run. Our long-term goal is to be as inclusive as we possibly can. And I think, you know, we've been getting this feedback for, you know, probably the past, as we've grown, you know, we've had to be a little careful with inventory investments because economically it can be pretty challenging. Sure. If you whiff on a product and then you know, you have more inventory, it's pretty tough to get out of. But what we've actually done is we've taken some of our best selling products and started to release extended sizes. So we'd been pretty inclusive on the men's side, but because we're mostly a men's brand, we'd limited the women's size ranges in the past. And we now have some of our key products going in a much broader size range. So we go up to 2XL in women's, and we're pretty excited about it. We've added a 2XL, 3XL in some of our men's products too that didn't have it before. And right. we're gonna continue to do that. And you know, our goal is to, you know, we're a brand that cares a lot about the people that wear our product. And our goal is to be as inclusive as we possibly can. And that's, you know, that's true of both, you know, race and ethnicity, but also true of size.
Absolutely. Drew, thank you so much for joining. And for everybody watching, please go visit californiacowboy.com and go buy your California Cowboy and California Cowgirl clothing.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate it.
We all have a story to tell. Let's tell yours. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast with your host, Jason. Come together and listen to journey stories and more from interesting people. Welcome your host, Jason.